your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading at verse 10. We have been going through the book of Acts for quite some time now, and we will continue to do that until we get to the end, and then we'll find something else to do. But it's going to be a while yet before we get through the book of Acts. This morning, Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 10, reading through verse 15. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing, as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. We have been traveling with Paul and his companions on the second missionary journey as they continue to spread the gospel throughout the Gentile world of Macedonia and Greece. It's been an arduous journey. Paul and Silas were unlawfully imprisoned in Philippi. They met severe opposition in Thessalonica, which forced them to flee in the middle of the night to the relative safety of the next city of Berea. Berea was a small town kind of off the beaten track. It was not on the main highway. There was a sizable Jewish community in Berea, as evidenced by the fact that a synagogue was located there. And in keeping with his usual custom, Paul went there first to preach the gospel to the Jews in the synagogue. Perhaps to Paul's surprise, instead of encountering people who needed to be persuaded of the truth, as was the case in Thessalonica, Paul found the people in Berea eager to receive the word. Luke describes the Bereans as being more noble than the people in Thessalonica. The phrase means that the Bereans had a noble character. It's not necessarily referring to the fact that they were of high social standing, but rather simply to the fact that they were more open to receiving the truth. They wanted to know what was right concerning the things that Paul was preaching to them. And so they received with eagerness the things that Paul said, and then they examined those things under the microscope of Scripture to see if what Paul was saying was true. You'll notice that it says they did this daily. Daily. Not only when they were in the synagogue, but every day. They would go home and pull out their Old Testament scrolls and search the Scripture to learn the truth of God. They examined the Word. The word examined means to sift up and down, to shake something around to eliminate any impurities. It also refers to making a careful and exact research, as in a legal process. A legal search for evidence needs to be very exact and precise because the issues are so important. Justice is at stake. A person's destiny, maybe even a person's life, is at stake. So you make a careful, precise, exact investigation to discover the truth. This is what the Bereans did when they heard Paul preach. Even though it was the Apostle Paul who was preaching, they did not just take his word as being the truth. They searched the Scriptures, comparing everything that Paul said against the revealed truth of God in order to know of a certainty the truthfulness of the claims that he made. The Bereans were students of the Word of God. There is a church not too far from us called Berean Bible Fellowship Church. Maybe you've wondered where that name comes from. Well, now you know. It is a wonderful name for any group of believers who want to fulfill their calling to be faithful and diligent about studying the Word of God, which is what I hope we are. Believers who have as a priority for our lives to study and understand and apply and obey God's Word in every part of our lives. And that's what I want to talk to you about for a few moments this morning. I want to give you some reasons why the study of God's Word is paramount for our growth in Christ. This is not going to be an exhaustive study. There's many places in the Word of God you could go to deal with this issue. But I just want to kind of whet your appetite to get you thinking about doing more in terms of a serious study of God's Word. Let's begin with one of the most basic and important instructions for believers found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Turn there in your Bibles if you care to. 2 Timothy 2:15, which says in the ESV, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the Word of God." The Old King James Version says, "Study to show yourselves approved unto God." Principle number one, God's Word requires that we study it. The word study here means to give diligence to, implying that we are to use persistent zeal and effort in our study of the Word of God. We have been taught as believers that daily, personal, devotional reading of the Bible is essential for our lives, and that is certainly true. You need to be having your own personal quiet time every day. But here Paul is talking about something more. There needs to be study of the Word. There needs to be digging into the Scriptures. There needs to be searching out its truth as a miner digs for gold. That takes effort. It takes work. It takes diligence. It's going to require a sacrifice of time and energy, but that is what God requires for those who are going to be students of the Word of God. Someone once said to Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse, pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia back in the 50s, said to Dr. Barnhouse, "I would give the world to understand the Bible like you do." Barnhouse replied, "Well, good, because that's what it will cost you. It's going to take work and effort and sacrifice and diligence and persistence to study the Word of God." Notice Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we're to study to apply ourselves to the consistent study of God's Word in order to be approved unto God. The word approved means the passing of a test or an examination. In school, we are tested in order to determine how well we mastered a subject. In the Christian life, we study diligently because we're going to be tested by God. God brings testings and difficulties into our lives, and we need to be able to pass these tests so that God will approve of our behavior. The ability to pass God's test are directly related to our study of God's Word. We are not to be studying God's Word in order to receive man's approval. We're not studying just to fill our minds with a lot of facts about the Bible. But we study in order to receive the approval of God so that our behavior will conform to His plan and His pattern for our lives. Notice the last phrase in that verse, which touches on the issue of how to study the Bible. We'll talk more about this in a moment, but Paul just touches on it right here. He says we are to rightly handle the Word of God. The idea comes from a word that means to cut along a straight line. It's the metaphor for plowing a straight furrow if you're a farmer, or a stonemason who squares and cuts precisely a piece of stone so that it will fit exactly into the spot that is required for it. It means to handle the Word of God correctly, to use proper methods so that you arrive at proper conclusions. You can teach anything from the Word of God if you do not interpret, study the Word of God correctly. You can make the Bible teach anything you want if you simply pull verses out of context, if you divorce them from other verses around them, or from the chapter, or from the book in which they occur. You just pull verses from every place in Scripture, and you can make the Bible say just about anything you want. Well, you can't do that with God's Word. That's not handling God's Word correctly. You need to know the right principles. You need to use the right principles for correct understanding of God's Word so that you arrive at proper conclusions. Principle number one, God's Word requires that we study it. Not just read it, although that's important, but we study it. We dig deeply into it. We search the Scriptures. Find out what's there and then live in response to it. Turn back a few pages to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, where Jesus is speaking. This is part of the temptation story of Jesus, John 4. Jesus says in verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Principle number two, God's Word is the necessary food for our souls. It's a sad thing to see Christians who do not grow in the Christian life. We're familiar with that phenomenon in the physical world. It's a sad thing when we see it in the spiritual world. Christians who do not grow. As the redeemed children of God, we are designed to grow up into the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be becoming more and more like Christ every single day. That's sanctification. That's our growth in godliness. The case of an immature Christian is usually traced to a poor diet, a lack of basic spiritual food that God has made available for His children. In Matthew 4, of course, Jesus has been in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. And now that it's come to an end, he's hungry. And Satan says what appears to be a very logical thing. "Lord, since you're hungry, turn these stones into bread," meaning into physical food. You're hungry? Take some of these stones and make them into physical food so you can eat. Well, as important as physical food is, physical food does nothing to satisfy the needs of your soul. Jesus says we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need spiritual food. We need divine food. We need supernatural food that will build up and strengthen our inner man. That food is found in God's Word. And you cannot eliminate it from your diet. You need it. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at verse 23 to begin. 1 Peter 1:23. "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower fails, but the word of the Lord remains forever. This is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. All right, principle number three. We must desire. We must desire the food that God makes available for us. 1 Peter 2:2 is not setting up a comparison between the meat of the word versus the milk of the word. In verse 2, the term pure spiritual milk, that refers to the word of God in its entirety. The point is that we must long for this spiritual milk. We must long for the word of God. We must crave it. We must desire it like an infant cries and screams for its mother's milk. This desire must be intense. It must be consistent. An infant doesn't get by nursing from its mother once in a while. He can't get by with nursing every day or two, or whenever he sort of feels like it. This is his food. He needs it constantly, regularly, if he is to survive. And Peter is telling us that that's the same desire that we need to have for the Word of God, if we are ever going to master it and grow according to the truth that is contained within it. We have to desire and crave and long for God's Word above everything else. A lot of us need to get off our diet of spiritual junk food. You can find a lot of spiritual junk food today on the TV. There are a few good, solid Bible teachers on TV, but not very many. And there's an awful lot who are preaching a lot of spiritual junk food. You can go on the internet and you can find preachers that will tell you anything other than the truth. Spiritual junk food is found in those pamphlets left at your house by those friendly folks who knock on your door every couple of months and are very friendly and offer you something to read. A lot of churches today are offering their people nothing but spiritual junk food, feel-good messages, entertainment, self-help, pop psychology under the guise of Scripture. None of that stuff is going to help you grow in your spiritual life. You need the Word of God in all of its purity. You need to desire God's Word above all else if you are going to grow. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, because I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty." God's word needs to be your food. You need to consume it. You need to find joy in consuming the word of God if you're to grow in God's word. Well, finally for this morning, a fourth principle. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to begin reading at verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, Paul is writing. He says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And now verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Principle number 4. The proper study of God's Word is indispensable for effective Christian service and ministry. Indispensable for effective Christian ministry and service. If you aspire to serve God effectively in this world, if you ever want to teach a Sunday school class or a home Bible study, if you ever want to be able to witness to your friends with effectiveness, with power, and without fear, if you want to teach your own family what they need to do to please God as a family or as individuals, if you want to be victorious over every sin that plagues your life, if you want to change the culture rather than being changed by it, then you need to spend time diligently studying and obeying the Word of God. God has given to us a marvelous, wonderful gift in the Word of God. It is not just another religious book. It is the very Word of God. God breathed out, we are told. He breathed out, and out of his mouth came words that have been written down for us and are contained in the Word of God today, the very words of God, exactly what God wanted us to know as believers. God's Word is alive. God's Word is powerful. God's Word is relevant. It is fresh. It is life-changing. It is trustworthy. It is reliable. And as such, Paul says, it is profitable. The word means useful or valuable or necessary. It is required feeding for the child of God in order to be able to accomplish certain very important disciplines in our lives. Number one, it is valuable for teaching. That is, for instructing us. How are we going to know what we need to know in this world? How are we going to know about God? How are we going to know about the Lord Jesus Christ? How are we going to know about this world in which we're living? How are you going to know about yourself? It's all found in the pages of God's Word. If you want to know what is important to know today, you need to study God's Word and understand it and apply it to your own life. The Word of God is profitable for teaching, for instructing us, for giving the information that we need. Second, it's profitable for reproof. The word means correcting our behavior. God's Word has the ability to point out to us specific sins that each one of us are involved in. It's like that sharp sword that is spoken about in the book of Hebrews that just cuts through the inner hidden layers of our hearts and gets down right to the real meat of the issue. What's going on in your life? The Bible exposes that to us and reveals to us things that are not right before God. Thirdly, it's valuable for correction. Well, it doesn't only expose our sin, but now it helps us change that thing, to deal with that sin. It corrects us. It sets us on a right path. It shows us how we are to live in a manner that's pleasing to God, without the sin that we struggle with so often. And then the Word of God is profitable for training in righteousness. The word really means discipline. It trains us in the right way that we are to go. It gives us the directions, the instructions for setting us on the right path and keeping us on the path toward following God's will for our lives. This is vital. You need this as a child of God. You need all four of these things to be happening constantly in your life, and they happen when you study the Word of God, the living, breathed out, inspired Word of God. So that, and here's the conclusion, so that, Paul says, two things will happen. So that, number one, you will be complete. The word means capable or sufficient or able to meet all demands. Whatever situation may arise in your life, maybe you're dealing with family issues. Maybe an illness is going to arise in your life. Maybe you're going to lose a job. Some other situation, maybe not directly involving you, but something that you're called into to deal with. It doesn't matter. Whatever the circumstance might be, if you've been grounded in the Word of God, you are not capable of meeting all the demands of that situation. You will have the equipment that you need to address that situation effectively and for the glory of God. And secondly, you will be equipped. The word is used of a wagon or a rescue boat that has been equipped with everything needed to rescue the lost. There's a ship that's floundering in the ocean. They call for the rescue ship. Well, you're not going to send some rowboat that's got a box of Band-Aids in it. You need medicine. You need food, you need blood, you need all kinds of supplies to care for the needs of all these people that are dying. That's the picture here. The child of God will be capable of performing every service expected of it if you have taken the time and put forth the effort to study the Word of God and to understand what it says. What God wants you to do with your life. What is it that God expects of His children today? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewal of your what? Your mind. That's where the thinking takes place. That's where the study happens. Your mind has to be changed. It has to be brought into conformity with God's will and God's purposes and God's knowledge. And when that happens, then you will be able to discern God's good and perfect will for your life. It is the consistent study of God's Word and the application of God's Word to your heart that will transform your mind so that you will know the will of God for your life. You're not going to transform your mind in a healthy way by listening to the guys on TV or the internet. You're not going to change your mind. You're not going to transform your mind in a positive way by reading all that stuff you get that's left at your doorstep. You know what else? You're not going to transform your mind in the way that God wants you to be transformed by sitting in this worship service for 1 hour a week. The daily study, digging, searching into the Word of God. for you to become skilled in God's word so that you understand it and can apply it in your life. Well, that's enough preaching. Now I want to start meddling. In our church, we offer, we have some home Bible studies that meet during the week, some that meet here at church, programs for our youth, programs for our high school students, men's Bible studies, ladies' Bible studies, different opportunities for you to study the Word of God. But probably the most effective means that we offer for you to study God's Word is during our Sunday school. There's a clue. Sunday school. Listen to me, folks. Every one of you here this morning should be attending our Sunday school on a regular basis. Some of you may have some legitimate excuse, but for the vast majority of you, every one of you should be attending our Sunday school every Sunday. A lot of good things in our ministry here, but our Sunday school is a work in progress. It's always been that way. Do you realize that we have more adults in Sunday school than we have children? That's unprecedented. That doesn't happen in churches. Sunday schools are filled with kids. It's hard to get the adults to come. We have more adults in our Sunday school than we have kids. And that's because we have a lot of parents who are not coming to Sunday school, and so consequently their kids don't come. You and your children are rich, consistent studying of the Word of God. And as parents, you ought to bring your kids to Sunday school every Sunday so that they begin to develop the habits, the godly habits of faithfully committing God's Word to their hearts and studying it on a regular basis. They're not going to, well, it's going to be very difficult for them to start doing that when they're 30 years old. Start it when they're 6 years old. It'll be a whole lot easier. And for you adults, you may say, well, I'm too old for Sunday school. That's for kids, right? Well, nothing could be further from the truth. And so for all of you adults, we have something very special for you. I'll tell you about that in just a few moments. Let's bow our heads together. Father, your word is this incomparable, this gold mine of information about yourself and your world and your Son, your salvation that you offer. It is the living word that meets and solves all the problems and the issues of our lives. How weak and feeble we are as believers when we fail to study your word on a consistent basis. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to us that desire, that craving for the Word of God like an infant has for its mother's milk. It needs that nourishment. Help us to see our need for that spiritual nourishment that you've provided for us in the Word of God. Pray, Heavenly Father, that the Word of God would become absolute priority in each of our lives. We pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.